Taf Yud Beis Amid Aleph. We'll begin Yud Aleph Amid Beis, two lines from the bottom. Omer of Zerah Haitanahu, the Omer Kolatsuli Tinef Leke Choshev. We learned previously that Zav, who's Baal Sholosh Riyos, if he goes out with a kiss, with the pouch, it's not needed. He knows now that already he is a Zav, and he's a Zav Baal Sholosh Riyos that he's going to have to bring a korban. The only purpose for this kiss is to protect his clothing, that it doesn't get soiled. So we say he's potter, the Rice says he's potter. There's no chiv chatas, because that's not considered a significant act of caring. That's not a significant choshva act of aitzah. If he needs it to determine the riyas of his azov, that's choshev. But if it's simply to protect his clothing, that's not choshev, that's not significant, and therefore he's potter. So who is the Tana that holds kol atzulei tinaif? If it's only to protect from getting dirty, that's not considered aitzah. So Amar Zera Haitan Huda Amar Kolatsuli Tinaf Leika Choshiv. This Nan we learned in the Mishnah. Hakoifa Kara Ala Koisel. If one turns over a bowl on a wall. Im Bishil Shetuda Chakara Reza Bechiyutan. Im Bishil Shelo Yilaka Koisel Eina Bechiyutan. Now the basic halacha of Chiyutan is, the Torah says that if a person is Chiyutan Mayim Al Zera, that in order for something to become a oichol, to become susceptible to tuma, to be makabel tuma, it has to first come into contact with a liquid. Before coming into contact with the tuma, after it's already cut down from the ground, it has to come into contact with a liquid, with one of the seven liquids. The Torah uses the word yud tes nun, which normally we would read yitain, but it's pronounced yutan. Now, yitain means if a person puts it there intentionally, for a positive purpose, willingly. Yutan would mean on its own, even if it's without his knowledge, even without him wanting to do it. It happened on its own. Memela. The Torah writes yitain, pronounces it yutan, to teach us that he doesn't have to put the liquid on the zera, on the seeds, on the food. But it has to be as if he did it, meaning it has to be willingly, knowledgeably, with his knowledge and consent. It has to be with his rotzen. So that is when we say chiyuta. It has to be, he doesn't have to put it directly. It can fall on its own, but it has to be as if he did it directly. It has to be with his desire. He wants it to happen that way. So now if a person turns a bowl on the wall, if he wants the bowl to get cleaned by the rainwater, so he wants that water. So you want, now if the water then splashes onto a zera, now even though the person didn't necessarily want the water on the zera, on the food, on the seeds, but he wanted the water, according to Rashi, that's enough. That's enough to satisfy chiyuta. So as long as he had a positive purpose for the water, even if it's not for the zera, but he's happy that it's now washing the bowl. He put it on the wall to wash the bowl. He wants that water. That's b'chiyutan. And if that water splashes onto the zera, it'll become susceptible to tumah. But in b'shvil, shelo yilak ha'koisel, if the only reason that he put it there is not because he wants the water to wash the kli, not because he wants the water, he only wants to protect the wall, so he really doesn't want the water. He's putting it there to protect the wall from the water. So that's daima, that's similar to what our discussion over here is atzulei tinaf. He just doesn't want the wall to get dirty. Then in a b'chiyutan. It's not considered b'chiyutan, and therefore if that water falls on the food, it will not be machshirit l'kabal tuma. So we want to bring an analogy and make a comparison over here, just like that atzulei tinaf is not b'chiyutan. Similarly, the gabei haitzah and Shabbos, it's not considered choshev, and it's not considered haitzah if the whole purpose of the kiss is atzulei tinaf, just to protect his garments so they don't get soiled. In the case where he's just protecting the wall, he doesn't want the water at the mashk at all. He doesn't want the mashk. Over here, in our discussion, the haitzah is not the ziva. Over here, the haitzah is the kiss. And he does want the kiss. Yes, he only wants the kiss, la'atzulei tinav, but he still wants the kiss. Over there, the water is not b'chiyutan, because he doesn't want the water at all. What's in discussion is the water desirable? Does he want the water? And if he's only putting the bowl there to protect the wall from the rainwater, he doesn't want the water at all. So you can't consider b'chiyutan. Over here, he wants the kiss. Now, even though the only reason he wants the kiss is only to protect his clothing, but saif kol saif, the haitzah in question over here is the haitzah is on the kiss, not the ziva. And he does want the kiss for a certain purpose. True, it's not for the most constructive purpose. It's only to prevent the clothing from getting dirty, but he still has some purpose for it, as opposed to the water. In the case of the wall, he doesn't want the water at all. So how can you bring a comparison analogy between these two cases? Mar says it's not comparable rather. If you want to compare it, holy dummy, Elisefa, if we are going to compare it to this case of Pechiyut, and it's comparable to the Seifa. Not to the case that we just mentioned, but rather to the Seifa. A Reva, if you have a trough, Shiara Delta Seifa, if you have, it's there placed upright so that the rainwater can collect in there. Now, his primary purpose is to protect the surface underneath, but he has a choice. He can turn it upside down or upright. He places it upright, indicating that even though his primary function is to protect the surface below, he wants to protect from below, but he still has some benefit in collecting the water in the trough. So my mintazim and itzofim, the water that splashes and spills out, that splashes einim b'chiyuta. He has no design for that water whatsoever. So therefore, it's not b'chiyutan, it will not mimakshir the oichel kabel tuma. But the water inside the trough is b'chiyutan, because even though he has only a secondary benefit for that, he has only a minor benefit for that, and the primary function is atzulei tinuf, is to protect the surface below, but still it is considered b'chiyutan. Here also, the person, the zav, the kiss is atzulei tinuf. He has some purpose for the kiss. So why should we say he's potter? So if we are going to make an analogy to b'chiyutan, we'd rather make it to that case. And therefore, we don't have a reason to say that by a kiss, even by a zav bal shalosh lir, riyos that he be potter. Ela by v'rava d'arim tarvayu. What's the pshat? Why do we say in the case by the zav with the kiss that he's potter? Like kasha harav Yehuda v'harav Shimon. It's really based, if you say that he's potter or chayev, it's whether you hold like Rav Yehuda or Rav Shimon. There's a general machlekes between the two, and a malacha shein etzricha legufa of your chayim or your potter. We learn out the Hahilchos Shabbos, we learn out from the Mishkan, and we learn out that malacha Shabbos have to be malachas machsheves. They have to be done for a constructive, positive purpose. Now, if a person does the malacha, and it's a malacha shein etzricha legufa, the way Rashi learns it, it's a machlek, it's Rashi and Taisus. The way Rashi learns Malach Shein Tzrich Leguf is that he's doing it, but not for a positive purpose, not for a constructive positive purpose that's adding something to the situation. Normally, when you do a Malach, you're building the Mishkan. There was no Mishkan previously. There was a desire and a mitzvah and a tzivui to build a Mishkan. So that was a constructive purpose of building a Mishkan. There's a new edifice over here. Similarly, all malachas are in the same category. There was nothing plowed and growing here, and now you're plowing and you're improving a situation. You're building a house. Rashi learns that removing a negative is not considered a constructive purpose. It's not considered positive. So the case point in question over here, case in point is if a person removes a mess from the house, not because he wants the mess to be in this other place. He's taking it from the house, let's say, to the Rishus HaRabim, which is Hoitzah. Is he chaya for that Hoitzah, or is he potter? So Rav Shimon holds this a malach shein etzricha legufa. The way Rashi learns is, Haitzah, the constructive purpose of Haitzah is you want that item in this other place. They're building the Mishkan, so they want the materials to be in the Yerushalayim Sarabim. Over here, he doesn't want the mess to be specifically necessarily in the Shusharam. He just doesn't want it in the house. So that's removing a negative. According to Rashi, that's what Rav Shimon says is a malach shein shriach legufa, and you're potter. But Rav Yehuda says, no, you're chayim in such a case. Tosfos learns differently. He learns malach shein shriach legufa. It has to be similar to the way it was done in the Mishkan. It's not necessarily that if it's a positive or it's the removal of a negative, it has to be similar to the way it was in the Mishkan. Nevertheless, we're saying over here, whether you hold a kiss and with the Zod going out with the kiss, he's chayv or potter, it depends if you hold like Rav Shimon or like Rav Yehuda. If you hold like Rav Shimon, Malach Shein Shriach Legufa's potter, it's not the Malach of Haitzah. Haitzah is that you want this item, you want this item in this other place that you're taking it to. Over here, he doesn't want the kiss in the Rishul Sarabim. He doesn't want to take it from the house of the Rishul Sarabim. He just wants it not in that place. He just wants it to protect his garments. According to Rav Yehuda, nevertheless, he's carrying it. He's carrying it, even though it's only to remove a negative, so to speak. It's to protect his clothing that it shouldn't get soiled. It's not to create something new and better than from what was there before. Rav Yehuda says, nevertheless, you're chayv. Rav Shimon says, this is considered malach shein shriach legufa, and that's how we resolve the two brises, whether the kiss, the zov of the kiss is chayv or potur. Even though we said that you cannot go out with certain items prior to Shabbos, samuch to Shabbos, erev Shabbos, but tefillin, he says, is mutter. Tefillin, we're not concerned that he'll carry it on Shabbos. My time, a person always has to be conscious of his tefillin. He has to adjust it, and he has to know and not forget that he has it on his head. He has to be mashkol shah, kal v'chaymer mitzitz. And how do we know that? We learn a kal v'chaymer from the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol wore on his forehead, the plate that he wore on his head, the Kohen Gadol had on his head. Matzit she'in v'yeles korach, that only had one mentioning of the name of Hashem, it was written once. It says, Tayal Mitzchot Tomit. So Rashi says, and this is extra, because we know it was on his forehead. So what does it mean on this pasuk? It's coming to teach us, Shelo yaseich daita mimena. It has to be constantly, consciously aware that he has the tzitz. He's not only wearing it, but he has to be conscious of it. So tefillin, kal v'chaymer, tefillin sheyesh bo hazkaras harbe, it has many mentions of the shem Hashem, al machas kama v'kama. So he always has to be conscious of tefillin, he has to be mamash mishtomet. So therefore, we're not concerned that when Shabbos comes in, he'll forget and carry, because he's always aware that he has a tefillin, and when Shabbos comes in, he'll be aware that he has tefillin, and he will remove it before Shabbos comes in. Hilkach mitkedok, he will remember who. Tanya Hananya Chayev Adam Lamashav Big Day Erev Shabbos Mechashecha, prior to Shabbos, the onset of Shabbos, a person has to examine his clothing to see that he's not carrying anything, that he doesn't go out on Shabbos carrying anything. Amar Rav Yosef Hilchos Arabosel LeShabbos, this is a very important fundamental halacha on Shabbos, to check the clothing, to check himself before Shabbos, to make sure he's not carrying anything. Lo yifales kelov. So the Mishnah said that one should not remove the lice from his clothing. So yiboilu, what does this mean? Lo yifales kelov biyam. Does it mean that you should not do it on Shabbos? Shemi yaharig. And what is the consideration? That we're afraid he might kill the lice, and killing the lice, he'd be chayv for that. So meaning that the Tana holds, and we'll see, this is a machlokes, but the meaning that Tana holds that killing lice, like killing any other creature, killing an animal on Shabbos, he's chayv in the Tilsa Shabbat. So therefore, he should not remove the lice on the day of Shabbos, because he might come to kill them, would be a malocha. Rabbi Elazar, he, and it would be going according to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, son, Yom Rabbi Elazar, Harei Kina B'Shabbos, Ki L'Harei Gomal. He holds killing a kina, insignificant lice, louse, is like killing a huge camel. It's the same thing. You're chayim for both. Now, this is a machlaikas. The other mandamra holds that no, it has to be doima to what was in the Mishkan. And those were the animals that were in the Mishkan and the Tchon, Tachash, etc. And those are only where the visibly it's clear that they're part of a rabbit, that they reproduce. they lay eggs or they give birth, etc. And lice, you cannot see the reproduction. So therefore, they hold that for killing lice, you'd be potter. But Rabbi Elazar holds Yochaim. So does the Tan of our Mishnah hold like Rabbi Elazar, and he holds never, even though it's lice, even though it's small, even though you don't see that it reproduce, nevertheless, you'd be chayv, and therefore you cannot remove the lice from the clothing on the day of Shabbos, because you might come to kill it, which would be a malacha. And then it's a separate halacha that he should not read to the light of the candle, because he might tilt it, and that might increase the flame. So that's the lace of our age. Or no, maybe both cases is the same reason. It's shemiyata, that he might tilt it. It's just another example of coming to tilt it. He might examine his clothing while he's removing the lice and come to tilt it. Tashma ain't poilin ben karm lo renair. It says ain't poilin ben karm lo renair. So the assumption is that lo renair is going on both. In fact, the more mi'alim masnisen, well, why is this better than the Mishnah? In the Mishnah also, it said both halachas, and we're mesupik, we're not sure whether the or and there is referring only to Yikra, or is it going in poilin as well. As Tosafot points out, the lashon over here would be, the havamina was, that it would be indicating more that it's lo or and there, because it doesn't say like in our Mishnah, lo yifala kelev ve'in karem lo or and there. It says ain't poilin ve'in karem, it's the same lashon. And it's the same type of language, and on both it says lo or and there. It would seem to indicate lo or and there is going on both, but nevertheless, Gemara says lav dafka. It's not muchach, not necessarily so. You could learn it as two separate halachas. Tashma, let's bring a rhyme from the Braisa in poin lo or and there, vein kaim lo or and there. It says both of them lo or and there. That the reason for both is that he might tilt it, not that he might come to kill the lice, but that he might tilt the candle. Even to use the light to differentiate between his clothing and his wife's, it still would be also, we're still afraid he might need more light and he might come to tilt it. However, he said that's only by Minahuza, where B'nai Mechuza, where the clothing is similar, he needs more light, he might come therefore to tilt it. Because there it's clear the clothing is different, he doesn't need that much light, he wouldn't have to tilt it in order to differentiate between the two.
Nami, and B'nai Mechuza also, Lo Yamrin El Dizkenes, it's only by the older woman.
That's where there is an issue with it. That's where it may be confused. Our the Lodois made the idea that the young woman, their clothing is clearly different than the men. The men had to work in the fields, and then they had narrower clothing and shorter clothing that wouldn't interfere with the work. So there's it's clear you don't need that much light to differentiate between the two, and therefore it would not be a problem. It's only when the clothing is similar, you need a lot of light, there we say you cannot use the light of a candle to differentiate. We're talking about removing the lights. You don't remove the lights from your clothing in the Rishus Ram in the public. It's not a Shabbos day galoch, it's a covet. Similarly, to induce vomit, they in those days sometimes they did that to be able to eat larger meals, or if they had, because they ate a large meal, they had stomach aches, they induced the vomit. Not, you don't do that in Rishus Rabbim, it's not covered for the Rabbim.
Tanraman and Amaflas Kalev. If a person is removing the lice from his clothing, moilal v'zayrek b'vachal yarek.
So if he's doing it on Shabbos, he is moilal. He can roll it and throw it away, but he can't kill it.
Avishol oimer noitel v'zayrek b'vachal yimlo.
Avishol says he can throw it out, but he cannot roll it. Meaning the issue is killing the lice, is it a malacha? Like we learned before, we had this malacha. Is it a malacha? Or is it not a malacha? Only also midrabanan. So if you hold it's not a malacha, it's also midrabanan, you can be moilel, and we're not that concerned that it might come to kill, because even if it does, it's not a malacha. But Rav Shaul says killing it is a malacha, so you can't roll it, you can just remove it.
Amar Rav Huna halacha ma'il v'zarek. You could be ma'il v'zarek v'zel kvaida.
And this is the proper way. V'afil b'chol.
And even in the weekday, that is the proper way to do it. That's a cover to do it. So you roll it so that it doesn't come back to you. It weakens it and it doesn't come back onto you.
Rabba mekatalu.
Rabba used to kill them. And Rushesh is a mekatalu. And also he used to kill them. The way Rashi is learning, to bring down this machlokes in this matter, but the way Rashi learns is even on Shabbos, it holds like Beis Hillel, and there's no malach involved. And the Rabbanan did not even answer it, presumably because of the Tsar. But the Rabbanan did not even answer it, so it's mutter to kill the lice, to kill them even on Shabbos. Rav Shadal Lulikana de Maya, he threw it into the pail of water. Amar Lahu Rav Nachman Labante, Rav said to his daughters, Ketulan, kill the lice. Vashmina Lakoldas and Vasi, let me hear the screaming of my enemies. These lice are romazic, let me hear that they're screaming that you've killed them. Tanya Rosh Hashanah Laz Raimer in Hargimin Samachalus Beshavas the Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says it's also Beis Hillel Matir, but Beis Hillel says it's Mut. Achein Ha Yerush Shimbin Laz Raimer Shem Shimbin Gamliel. And similarly, he said other things that are Machlokes Beis Sham Beis Hillel. Ein Meshadchan as a Tinoikas Lares. You don't make a Shiduchim with a Tinoikas, a young girl, a Shiduch for a Arison. For marriage, you don't make a shidduch for her. V'loyes a tinek l'lamde sefer l'lamde umenes, and not a child, a young boy, to teach him certain limudim that are not appropriate for Shabbos, and l'lamde umenes, or a trade. You don't teach him these things. It says with Shabbos davar davar, things that are done on Shabbos are not personal affairs, personal matters. They're only things that are appropriate for Shabbos. So you don't teach these things, vein menachmem avelim, and you don't do nicham avelim because it's a tsar. It's not appropriate for Shabbos. Vein mevakim es chaylam v'Shabbos, and you're not mevakim the chaylam for the same type of reason. Divrei Beis Shammai, but Beis Hillel matir, and Beis Hillel says it's mutter because chefsei shamayim are mutter. Chefsach is also chefsei shamayim is mutter, and also when you're doing the mitzvah. To be mevakir, etc. You're doing the mitzvahs for it, so therefore they are matered on Shabbos.